ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Good morning. Welcome to this special edition of AM. It's Sunday, the 22nd of March. I'm Andy Park, coming to you from Gadigal Land in Sydney. In a landslide result, Labor has claimed a second term in South Australia, even increasing its majority in the state. But it's the rise of right-wing party One Nation that's capturing attention, particularly as it jumps ahead of the Liberal Party's primary vote. Liberal leaders are now taking stock ahead of the Farah by-election in May, as Kimberly Price reports.
A resounding victory for Labor in South Australia. Premier Peter Malinauskas returns the party for a second term, even increasing its majority in the state.
More than anything else, tonight I'm overwhelmed with a sense of gratitude, a gratitude to so many people who have provided this government the opportunity to be able to continue to serve.
In his victory speech, the Premier urged for unity.
It's been a hot summer in Australia, so maybe we should all look forward to the temperature coming down just a little bit, so that when we sing the national anthem with pride, we don't forget there is a second verse, which reminds us. It reminds us that when we all combine, we can achieve anything. When we work together, diversity has always been our greatest strength.
The election was decided quickly. Polls closed at 6 p.m. and the Labor landslide called within 2 hours. Liberal leader Ashton Hearn was the third opposition leader in 2 years and had little more than 3 months to make her mark.
I'm a proud Liberal. I love this party. I love what we stand for. And when I look out and I see so many of you here tonight, I see a sea of blue of true believers who really do believe in this Liberal cause, and there is still so much to fight for.
Retaining her seat of Shubert, she's vowed to continue as the state's Liberal leader.
Look, it's a tough night for the Liberals. There's absolutely no doubt about it that things are tough and lessons must be learned.
It's a dire result for the Liberals, with fears the country is turning against the party. Anne Rustin is a federal Liberal senator for South Australia.
We need to, first and foremost, we need to reaffirm our values as what it is to be a Liberal.
The Liberal vote collapsed dramatically, putting it behind One Nation in the primary vote. Pauline Hanson's party is on track to record its best result anywhere in the country in nearly 30 years, although preference flows will determine its lower house seats. But Corey Bernardi did win his upper house seat for One Nation.
And whilst I congratulate the Premier, and I have spoken to him earlier tonight, to wish him well, and I hope he does the right thing for all South Australians, If he doesn't, I promise you, we will make him listen to your voice. We will make him listen to you, and we will make the Red Party and the Blue Party, the Uni Party, take notice that the orange wave is here to stay.
The significance of the One Nation pool hasn't been lost on leader Pauline Hanson, telling Sky News she feels vindicated.
And I just feel that in so many ways to see the percentage of the vote that we're getting at the moment, that it's not just a dream, that this is happening. And I know the rest of Australia is watching.
The ABC's election analyst Casey Briggs points out just how dramatic the drop in the Liberal vote is.
This is a long list of seats where the Liberal Party is on a single-digit first preference vote, and that is a very big mountain to climb if that party wants to rebuild.
He believes the election could have national implications.
This is a disintegration, particularly on the Conservative side of politics, of the two-party system that we have seen. Now, will that sustain itself into future elections or not? That's going to be probably a question for another day.
Tom Koutsantonis is a senior South Australian Labor MP. He worries the swing to One Nation could impact federal policies.
What we need is both sides of politics to stand up and call out One Nation, saying they're being reckless for the country's prosperity, they're being reckless for the country's future. And if we argue over migration, What we are going to see is the country go backwards, not forwards. I'm very worried about that.
A number of South Australian seats are too close to call, with vote counting expected to last into the week.
Kimberly Price there. Well, as counting continues, Labor is on track to win 32 of 47 lower house seats. While the victory is resounding, it's the battle for second place that's really turned heads. The state's Liberal opposition saw its primary vote collapse dramatically. I spoke to reporter Oliver Gordon, who watched the night unfold. Ollie, take me through the numbers. Just how big a win is this for Peter Malinauskas?
Well, look, this is the biggest ever victory for the party in South Australia. The Labor Party came into last night with notionally 29 seats, and they look likely to have at least 32 by the end of counting. A modest jump, but it's one that sees them in a really dominant position. That's because of this splintering of the Conservative vote between the Liberal Party and One Nation. When we look at the statewide primary vote, so that's the total tally of people who voted for each party, Labor's on track to pick up 39% of the vote. The Liberals look to have secured around 19% of the vote. And of course, the story of the night, Andy, is the performance of One Nation, which is on track to outpoll the Liberal Party, on track to secure about 21% of the primary vote. To put that into context, prior to this election, One Nation had only ever managed 2% in South Australia, even when they ran almost a full slate of candidates back in 2002. So this is a really big jump, and it's really a result that means Pauline Hanson's party, which was at one point shunned by both sides of Australian politics, has at least temporarily broken into the mainstream.
This, as you say, is a big jump and a strong result for One Nation. They'll increase their representation in the state's upper house, but as it stands, they don't appear to have picked up any lower house seats.
Yeah, so at this stage, One Nation is looking really promising in the lower seat. Hammond it may well take that seat. There are two or three more hopefuls in the lower house, but there is the possibility that they come away with only one or maybe two lower house seats. And really that comes down to the compulsory preferential voting system that's used here in South Australia, where preferences are distributed at full value until a winner is determined in each seat. It hasn't really favoured One Nation in this election by the looks of it. You can see this in one of the seats, Chafee, a regional, remote South Australian seat. In this seat, One Nation received the most votes, followed by the Liberals, but then the Labor and Green preferences have flowed to the Liberals, allowing them to jump past One Nation and hold the seat. It's this system that could see the Liberals take more lower house seats than One Nation, despite polling fewer overall votes than them, Andy.
Really, as we go over these numbers, what has happened to the Liberal Party's vote?
Well, it's plummeted. It's down around 16% from where it was 4 years ago. Across Adelaide, once very safe, Liberal seats are now in Labor hands. The key question for the few surviving Liberals will be, how do we fix this? Like other state branches of the Liberal Party and the federal branch of the Liberal Party, there's a divide between moderates who want to bring the party closer to the political centre and then influential conservatives who think the party needs to appeal more strongly to its base on the right. This is a conversation that will obviously be revisited in the coming days.
Oliver Gordon there. Well, Labor's win is the party's largest victory in South Australian election history. Blair Boyer is the South Australian Minister for Education, Training and Skills, and he will continue representing the electorate of Right in Adelaide's northeastern suburbs. Minister, welcome to AM.
Thank you for having me.
An emphatic win last night. Why was Labor's campaign successful?
Yeah, for a couple of reasons, I think. One, of course, that can't be ignored is the popularity of our Premier, Peter Malinauskas. He has broad appeal. In fact, I think broader appeal than any leader almost that we have had in South Australia before. And that certainly carried us a very, very long way. But if you break it down into individual seats, in those kind of key battleground areas, and I was lucky enough to get up close to a lot of those campaigns throughout the election period, they were really won the old-fashioned way. And knocking on doors, and these candidates knocked on a lot of doors and they kept doing it. And they won the ground campaign. And when you, I think, combine that then with the popularity of the Premier Peter Malinauskas and the fact that we've been a stable team, and then you compare it, of course, with the Liberal Party, which had been basically the complete opposite of that for the best part of 4 years, I think they are the key factors that played into the result that we are seeing.
Despite your success, one of your core promises in 2022 was to fix hospital ramping. Now, ramping has gotten worse under your first term in the state. You're on the record saying Labor didn't make a mistake in promising that because it was made with the best intention. So how can South Australians be assured you'll fix it this time?
Yeah, well, and we've been pretty upfront and honest, I think, about ramping in terms of where it is at now, the commitment we made before the last state election, how difficult it has been to reduce ramping. But I think if I were to look at the result that we've had here and compare it to the result that the former Stephen Marshall Liberal government got on the back of ramping, they were a government who were cutting money from the health system. And despite the fact that it is true that we have not reduced ramping the way we said we would, we have thrown the kitchen sink at it. We have not just delivered what we said we would before the last election in terms of more beds and doctors and nurses and ambulance stations. We've actually delivered a lot more. Despite that, it is true it has not reduced it in the way we wanted it to, in the way the South Australian public do, but we have made enormous investments in trying to build capacity in our health system. And now that it looks like we've been given another 4 years, we will continue to do that. And I do think if we were to picture what South Australia might look like now, if we had still had the Marshall Liberal government from 4 years ago that wasn't building new capacity but was in fact cutting capacity and cutting the health system, then we would be in a far worse state than the one we are now.
You mentioned before that Peter Malinauskas has broad appeal, and of course he had to sort of counter the rise of One Nation, particularly in regional and rural areas. What are you going to do to help win back those votes that went to One Nation?
Yeah, that's a very fair question, and I think I was pretty blunt in my own assessments last night that although this is an amazing result for the South Australian Labor Party and testament to the work of our team, candidates on the ground, and Peter's appeal, we cannot ignore the One Nation vote here, and I've seen that in my own seat. Although the majority of it, of course, was, I think, disaffected Liberal voters moving their vote to One Nation, I had a number of conversations at booths with long-time Labor voters who said that they were also, for the first time, not voting Labor and choosing to vote One Nation. And in my mind, there is no doubt that that is largely around issues, I think, around the effect of cost of living and people feeling like, and I think South Australia is a good example of this, a state that has objectively more economic opportunity in front of it now than it has had for decades. We have led things like unemployment with the lowest rates, state of the state reports, all these things that South Australia has normally been at the bottom of, we've been at the top of. But unless everyone gets to feel the benefit of that, then you can't still expect them to walk into a polling station once every 4 years and re-elect you. It's about us making sure that everyone gets to feel the benefit, in the household budget, in the hip pocket of where we're at as a state. And to me, that was the message that we were being sent yesterday. But I know, because Peter covered it off in his speech last night, his message will be, we are here to work with everyone in Parliament and work constructively for the betterment of all South Australians. And part of that is not just ignoring what happened in terms of that One Nation vote last night.
Returned Labor member for Wright, Blair Boyer. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
And you're listening to a special edition of AM. For more news, you can find us on ABC Listen. The South Australian Liberal Party is on track to win just 4 seats and looks to have been outpolled by Pauline Hanson's One Nation. Alexander Downer is the former Federal Foreign Affairs Minister under the Liberal Howard government, and he represented the South Australian federal seat of Mayo for 20 years until 2008. Alexander Downer, welcome to AM.
Thank you.
You were at the Liberal Party function last night. What was the mood like?
Well, they were obviously disappointed with the result, but it was expected because the polls have been foreshadowing this for quite some time. So I don't think anyone there was very surprised.
In 2022, you blamed the COVID pandemic for the state South Australian Liberals' loss. What was the reason the party was unsuccessful this time? And is the Liberal Party a viable opposition in your home state?
Well, in 2022, that's right. The COVID pandemic had completely unsettled the whole of the political system and beyond. This time, I think there are a range of issues. There have been internal divisions within the Liberal Party in South Australia. So factional fighting, changes of leadership and so on haven't been helpful. The party doesn't look stable. Secondly, there have been a succession of problems with individuals. So the former leader of the opposition ended up by being convicted after being caught snorting cocaine. Other MPs have had trouble with the law and with regulations. So all of that has done the Liberal Party brand in South Australia a huge amount of damage. And then there's the issue of One Nation itself. I think One Nation has energized some voters. I mean, obviously not all voters, but some voters, through the issue in particular of immigration. Those voters don't look at immigration perhaps the way the word suggests we would look at immigration. They look at things like, most recently, the way the Prime Minister was treated at the Lekemba Mosque, and they associate with that harassment and heckling of the Prime Minister with immigration. And that plays into the hands of a political party like One Nation, which appears to be opposed to immigration.
In fact, it's been 25 years since your former leader, Prime Minister John Howard, instructed One Nation to be placed last on the ballot. Today's South Australian Liberal Party is very, very different. You've in fact given warnings to voters about lodging protest votes for One Nation. It sounds like those warnings fell on deaf ears.
Well, I would have liked voters to vote for the Liberal Party, so certainly I can attest that I don't have a lot of influence over voters, but I don't try to anymore. But on the other hand, you have to accept that what is happening in Australia is a wave of populism, which is translated into the One Nation Party at the moment, a wave of populism which has swept through Europe and North America in recent years. It's finally arrived on Australia's shore, and then it's arrived in South Australia. So I think this is going to be a problem that remains part of our political system for quite some time to come.
So what does the Federal Liberal Party really need to do here? Is it to go back to the centre, as Anne Rustin has suggested? Obviously, the Farah by-election coming up in May. How would the Federal Liberal leader, Angus Taylor, view the South Australian election result in light of those federal challenges?
You'll have to ask him. I don't know how he would view it. I think.
How would you advise him?
For the Liberal Party, first of all, they need to stabilise, and there has been a lot of upheaval in the Liberal Party in recent times. So they have to consolidate around the leader, around Angus Taylor, and the National Party around Matt Canavan. And demonstrate to the public the stability of their brand. Secondly, they've got to argue their philosophy and their case. I mean, the Liberal Party, as its name suggests, is the Freedom Party, the party that believes in free enterprise, the party that believes that families and individuals should be able to chart their own futures rather than having the state direct them and as to how they should live. And secondly, they need to make sure they articulate clear positions and differentiate their positions from the Labor Party. They've got to be prepared to argue their case and argue it strongly, and including on programs like this, day in and day out. So, I think they can do it, but it's going to be tough.
Alexander Downer, I do appreciate you joining me on AM this morning. Thanks for your time.
It's a pleasure.
Well, the last time One Nation attracted more than 20% of the vote in a statewide election was 1998 in Queensland. As it stands, they're on track for a few upper house seats, but a lower house seat is, so far, yet to materialise in the count. Dr. Rob Manwaring is a senior lecturer at Flinders University in Adelaide, specialising in political science. Rob Manwaring, welcome to you. Welcome to AM.
Yeah, good morning.
How complete is this win for Labor? I mean, I can see the seat of Colton, for example, has had a 17% swing from the Libs to Labor. What are the other electorates that help sort of define Labor's win here?
Yeah, I mean, this is a comprehensive win, a historic win. And in fact, going back on the South Australian election books, you can't, there's no comparison. This is a triumphant, dominant win for the Labor Party. And in terms of electorates, I mean, they are winning in seats which you just wouldn't have expected. So, for example, in the inner city seat of kind of Unley, which was a sort of blue ribbon Liberal seat, I mean, that's fallen to Alice Rolls, the Labor candidate. And then there are other seats as well, which you might not have picked up on the night. So a seat like Davenport, for example, which they won in 2022 from the Liberals, that's now a commanding safe seat. So they have dominated, particularly across metropolitan Adelaide.
One Nation saw its biggest jump in a primary vote and is on track to record its best result anywhere in the country in nearly 30 years. Seats like MacKillop have seen a huge swing to One Nation from the Libs, 23% at last count. How important is this result for the minor party?
This is a really significant night for One Nation, and I think it's a really clear marker about their kind of growth, and I think that they will be an ongoing larger part of the kind of electoral mix. What's clear from the results is that the fracturing of the conservative side or the centre-right side of politics is now really kind of taken hold. And I think we'll probably see this as well playing out federally as well as at a state level. So this is a big night for One Nation. And even though their overall seat count won't necessarily be as high as you might expect, given the amount of percentage of votes they've got, this is still a really, they will see this as a big success.
Of course, the ability for the party to hold it together was tested with the dumping of the candidate for Adelaide, who was reportedly wanted in the UK for failing to attend court on a sexual touching charge. Did that affect their campaign at all?
No, not at all, I don't think. Generally speaking, I think what's happening here is that by and large, the One Nation surge is something that's happening to them rather than necessarily than the type of campaigning or candidates they're presenting at the state election. There's a sort of number of different types of kind of voters who are attracted to One Nation politics, and by and large, many of them have shifted across their support. Mostly, actually, sort of in sort of hostility and antipathy towards the major parties, and particularly the Liberal Party. So, in one sense, even though Pauline Hanson and candidates have been here in South Australia, I don't think it's made a sort of as significant kind of impact.
For all of the column inches written about One Nation in this state election, as we speak, they are yet to secure a lower house seat. What do you make of that? I mean, obviously, preferences will be key to any seats, whether they be upper or lower house for One Nation.
Yeah, I mean, at the time we're speaking, there are about 11 seats in doubt, and I think One Nation probably are predicted they could pick up two lower house seats. And in one sense, they're coming from a low runoff in terms of their kind of position from the previous election. So that this is sort of like an insurgency kind of movement going on here. The electoral system doesn't necessarily kind of favour them because, by and large, preferences from the major parties will count against them. So even if they score relatively highly on preferences, it's hard then for them to get a second wave of kind of preferences to kind of win over the line. But they will still have, I think, a very strong presence in the Legislative Council. And more crucially, I think that we'll continue to see One Nation scoring very high on terms of just overall vote share.
Rob Manwaring, thanks so much for your time. That's Dr. Rob Manwaring, political scientist at Flinders University, Adelaide. And that's AM for today. Thanks for joining me.